All right. Thank you for being back here tonight and being in your place. And we're off to a good start this summer. We've got a lot of good things going on. And so we call these family nights where we just have the kids play. We hang out here, food for sale. And I hope that you'll join us. It just so happens this next month and a half, I'm preaching tonight. We have Brother Joel Haynes will be with us next Sunday. You will like him. He's going to be at our youth conference. We have a couple of Sundays of split sessions, and then I'm another regular Sunday night together. So with family nights, I want to talk a little bit about the family. The subject I'll talk about tonight, of course, is not just as a family. It's kind of our philosophy as a church as well. And some of the things I'll touch on are also good for us. Just as Christians in our life, we can kind of look at some things here. The verses we'll look at tonight are just a starting point, but really a little different message. Usually it's a scripture, and I just go through the scripture. But I want to talk about some things I think that'll help us tonight. Right after World War II, they started naming the generations. Now, they may have named them before that. I don't remember ever hearing that, right? And the generation that was right after, right after World War II, the baby boomers. John, you're the Civil War group. So, back in the 1800s. But that's the group of children that were born after we came out of the war. And I was just looking it up, the different generations since then. That was the baby boomers, and that's those of us that were born. I wasn't born right after World War II. Okay, there was a 20-year gap there, and I was right at the edge of that 20-year gap. And I'm like, ugh. Sometimes the kids will call me that. I'll say something. They're like, boomer. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. The generation after that is Generation X. That's the generation my wife fell into. I married a little younger than myself. And that's the group after 1965. And then the millennials, born after 1980, and they became adults at the turn of the century there as we moved into the next millennium. And then Generation Z, they were born in 97 to 2009. Does anybody know what this generation from 2010 is called? Who knows what it is? Kevin, you know it? Yeah, Alpha. Good. Who said that? Right there. Good. Alpha. Yeah, that's Alpha. Alpha dog. Let's go. Okay. That sounds a lot more masculine than these other ones, right? Who wants to be a Z or an X? I'd rather be an Alpha. But that's the generation. As I was looking at it, I did a little internet research. I noticed that every generation has their strengths and their weaknesses according to this. A lot of what they considered strengths, I would not tend to see as a strength. I'd see it as a weakness. But I'm looking at it from the older generations to the newer generations. There are several things I see. When I look in the area of work ethic, morality, and responsibility from the, let's just go with the baby boomer generation to now, those are all going downward. Okay? Those are not trending upward. But when I look at things such as their acceptance of technology, the ability to adapt to change, global worldview, those are all trending upward. Now, they're not necessarily bad, but I will say this. Most of those are used in a bad context. And so it's very important. You say, why do you talk about generations? Because generations are important to God. God doesn't just see it in the generation that's alive. God wants us to see Christianity in the generations going forward. We're not supposed to have what I would call, I think I had a message with this, Hezekiah syndrome, where Hezekiah was like, God said, hey, bad things are coming later, but it's going to be okay in your time. He goes, well, that's great as long as there's peace in my time. He didn't even think about the next generation that was coming. By the way, that probably explains his son who took over as king. But generations are important to God. That's one of the things a pastor started with in our church, and that's a big thing. By the way, we accidentally fell into that when we started the church as Cambodian Baptist Church. We had a lot of the folks coming over at that time. They were basically freshly coming over from Cambodia, and they were a little bit older generation and getting used to America, but their children were growing up in America, and they were in the school systems. And so they were facing the new, and you had these Cambodians that maybe didn't even speak English, and they were still trying to figure it out, and there was a real big gap there. And so one of the things we did is we reached out to the older generations. We decided that we worked on that, but the biggest thrust and drive of our church would be reaching that generation that's being born into America that's trying to navigate this change. And so we did that on purpose, and it helped our church in the early days very, very much. We understood that God wants us to reach the next generation, and God wants us to reach the next generation in a spiritual sense. Our success at that is going to be determined by how we raise the next generation. Okay? What we're doing to raise the next generation. Now, in your family, that's on you, and that's vitally important. But as a church, we don't want to throw a wrench in the spokes. We want to make sure that we're backing that up, and in our church, we're not going to bring in anything into our church that would spoil the next generation. We're not going to do it. I mentioned this, it was a while ago, but the church by our house, and I'm not going to tell you the name or knock them, years ago they used to have they might still have it, the trunk or treat. And so our grandkids, it's easy, like, all right, it's Halloween, I'm not against candy, so we'll go over there, we'll go to their trunks, we'll get a bunch of candy in 30 minutes, we'll go have dinner and call it a night, right? It was real easy. And we went there, and it was nice, and the people were very nice, and they had candy in their trunks, and everything was good, and we're taking their candy, and I'm thinking there's Fantastic Cafe right there, and that's where I'm going right afterwards, okay? And we got the candy, and everything was nice. They had speakers outside. They were playing classical music. And right as we were getting the last bit of candy and we were pulling out of there, the music changed. And the song that came up was the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. And I'm thinking, what? By the way, we don't go back there. So I don't care if they're giving away free candy. And then they had their little youth band come outside. The dude had, his head was shaved, which I'm all for. Love it. And it was all spiky and different colors. And I'm like, he didn't get that from the Bible. And I'm thinking, this church is ruining that next generation. Because when you bring that into the church and the church tries to mimic the world, you're the Sunday night crowd, so you can handle this. When a church tries to mimic the world, here's what the teenagers will figure out. The world does the world better than the church. So why would I settle for this? I'm just going to go get the real thing. We see it as our responsibility not to ruin the next generation. We see it as our responsibility to put them in a place where they can be spiritually successful going forward. Look at these verses. This is, again, the message isn't going to be out of these verses. I'm just going to share some thoughts and we'll call it a night. But look at some of these verses. These verses about there is a generation are startling, and to be honest with you, they're prophetic about where we are at now. Look at verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The generation that has disrespect for parents and authority. Are we there? Are we there? The children are running the home. They have zero, and then as they grow older, they have zero respect for their parents. Help us. That's all throughout the Bible. And disrespect of authority. And we'll get to it. Why? Because they think they know everything. And our society peddles that. Look at verse 11, 12. There is a generation that are pure in their eyes. They see nothing wrong with their wicked ways. They don't. They bask in it and they identify themselves in it. By the way, that's seeped into Christianity. Gay Christians. What? There is no such thing as a hyphenated Christian. Now, if you want to hyphenate yourself, I'm a this American, that American. I'm not gonna chirp at you. I just say we all live in America. Let's just be Americans. I don't care what color or nationality you are. We're Americans. Okay? But we're not gonna hyphenate Christianity. Why are they the only group that gets their own subset of Christianity? Hey, what's next? Drunk Christians. Thieving Christians. I wish people would call themselves that. At least we know to stay away from them. Amen? Hold your wallet when you walk by. But you see, that's seeping in because they are identified by their sin. Okay? And there's you cannot change their mind. Which goes to the next verse. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. In other words, they're proud. They know more than anybody else. You can't argue with that generation. You could sit there and tell people the facts, and they don't care about the facts. They're right. And they'll give you some sob story as to why what they're believing is right. And look, we don't believe things just because of a story. We believe something because it's the truth. But that's how they are. You can't change their mind. And then, if this doesn't describe our young people today, mean-spirited, a lack of concern for others. Look at verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are sharp as swords. Look at how kids talk to each other. Their jaw, teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth. They don't care about anybody. And the needy from among men. They make fun of people that we should be helping. All the things that are mentioned there are glorified, endorsed by today's society, are they not? What about a parental authority? Our government and school system thinks that our children are theirs. Right? That's just what they think. Your child can go to those schools, change their pronoun, need to get an abortion, and they'll help them, and they won't tell you. There are bills, and California, we are super liberal. We're just done. Where they'll pass bills to where they don't have to tell the parents anything. Help us. All kinds of perverse behaviors are not only welcome in society, but they honor them and celebrate them. I'm thankful that this is the last day of June. Okay? I'm just thankful. I mean, I was going to say I was born in June. I wasn't born. I was married June 1st. Like, that was a bad month. I don't mean because of that. It's a great month. But it's like, really? I mean, I'm a white guy. We don't get celebrated for anything. It's like, white guy, you don't get anything. Like, oh, well. Okay. Just buy me lunch every now and then. I could care less. Think about it. We have kids on college's campus. They can't do basic math. You ever seen these videos of this guy? He goes to college campuses. What's 3 times 3 times 3? 9? Now he says, yeah, right. And they're like, oh, cool. It's like, no, it's 27. It's like, you know, where's Central America? Europe? I mean, and yet they'll sit there and argue that there's more than two genders. It's just, anyhow, I'm really getting over that. Feelings over facts. Our young people don't care about anybody. They see a situation where someone's hurt or getting beat up as an opportunity to video it and post it on their social media. They're disattached from the things. The key phrase is, there is a generation, and it's not a good one. So here's the message. I don't want us to be that generation. Let's have a better generation. Let's produce a generation that actually doesn't do these things. There have always been temptations and negative influences in society, but we understand this, right? It is worse than ever today. Now, I know, you know, kids, you have it easy today. You know, when I was a kid, it snowed every day, and we had to walk uphill everywhere. In fact, that's all there was hills. Okay, I'm not saying that. Fact of the matter is, it's the opposite. Our children today face things that we never had to face until we were adults, and even then, not to the extent that they had to face it. And so, if they're going to make it, it's going to have to happen on purpose. Now, understand this. If you pair the temptations that our young people face today, and let's just be honest, a lack of parental guidance, which is really what's going on in society, you have a recipe for disaster. I think we're seeing that. But here's the deal. It doesn't have to be like that for us. So how can we avoid becoming like this generation? I think there's two keys, and I'll go over them quickly. Now look, some of this isn't, I'm not going to be, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited at all. Just listen to what I'm saying. Think about it. But by the way, if your kids won't like it. And that's a sign that it's right. Okay. There has to be, first of all, a willingness to accept the fights. You have to accept it. You can't backpedal. Doing the right thing is never easy. And if you are a leader, as a parent, and then in our church, we'll fight things too. People may not like it, but it's like, you know what? You're not going to stand before God and answer for what is allowed in this church. I will. I will. You may not understand everything, and that's okay. But I'm going to fight it. But here's, as a parent, what you need to fight. First of all, let me give you some of them. Allowing too much freedom. Do you understand that being a parent is not a title, it's a responsibility? And your children do not need too much freedom. Our whole world and all their entertainment tells them they know what's going on, they got it wrapped up, they can handle things. Parents, leave your hands off. No, they can't. They can't handle it. And what we do is we give our children freedom. We let them go stay the night anywhere they want to go. We let them do whatever they want. And then we're shocked when bad things happen. Be the parent. Don't give them that much freedom. By the way, children and teenagers need boundaries. They do. I grew up in a single parent home. Mom. My mom did the best she could. But I was pretty deceitful. I could, you know, all I had to do is call, hey, Mom, we didn't have cell phone. Hey, Mom, hey, this is what I'm doing tonight. Okay, thanks. And I did 12 other things on the way to that one thing I was doing. I could pull the wool over her eyes. She tried. And by the way, I would have been a lot worse off if it wouldn't have been for her efforts. But nowadays, parents don't even try. No 15-year-old or anybody in my house is going to tell me what they're going to do. We don't roll that way. I tell you what we're going to do. It's a parent's job. So too much freedom will kill your children. Let me give you a couple rules here. Question everything and trust nothing. I'm just telling you, you would ask my mom on a Friday night, where's Steve? Steve said he's doing this tonight. I know. 1 out of 10 things I told her I was doing. That was it. But that was an unsafe family. I'm not going to allow that. It was really quiet here. Here's another word you ought to listen to. Here's a word you ought to learn. No! Dad, can I give you $20? No! Okay, yes, I was just kidding. Okay. Now, you don't have to yell, but just say no. But they may not like it. That's a good thing. If they don't like it, you know what you just learned? Right answer. Okay, we're moving on quickly. Keep a lid next on their influences. Wrong friends. By the way, even family members and cousins. Come on now. I had an uncle, good guy. We weren't saved. He was older than me. Oh, hey, Uncle so-and-so's taking me to work. He offered drugs on the way to work. I mean, I'm not gonna be honest, I didn't grow up in church. But my mom's, okay, uncle's taking him to work. It's like, this is my uncle. Well, he didn't mean anything by it, but it's just like, that's just, be careful who they hang out with. Right? Just because they're a family member or a close friend, if they don't love God and they're going to do things that violate the things that you would associate with, don't leave them alone. Wow, this is really going over good. Since you're already in that frame of mind, let's move on. Having guidelines on technology. See? Cell phones, iPads, computers, and let me throw this one in. Video games. And there's nothing wrong with video games, but be very careful. Some of them have a social media aspect, right? Get that turned off. And by the way, and no one does, so thank you very much, but I will never change my mind, thank you. No teenager needs a cell phone, ever. I will never change my mind. And you will never come up and talk to me about it, because I'll tell you why right now. You can never give me a good argument as to why they should have one. Now, if it were just a phone, hey, we're good. It's not just a phone. It's everything. And it has so much garbage on that. By the way, you know what I'm finding out, Brother Joseph? Over the years, our church has always had that stance, right? And you know what I'm finding now? I'm hearing other churches, and now they're starting to pick up. And not from us. They're just seeing what's going on and the destruction of it. And they're seeing the trouble. Look, even in our church, and we don't allow it, but I'll say this. Whenever there's a teen, by the way, we had a really good school year. And really good. It's been really good. We have good kids, by the way. That's probably why. But whenever there is a problem, 9 times out of 10, if not more, devices are involved. Look, I'm not a gambler. But if I was, I would play the best odds. So if it's more than 9 times out of 10 involved in bad things in a kid's life, the odds tell me, why don't you just, I could just nail it, make 10 out of 10, they're not going to get in trouble. Okay. Why do they need it? Well, you know, Pastor, I need to get a hold of them, and, you know, and all this stuff. And you know, if they come to youth activity, our leaders all have phones. We'll let them use it. No problem. No problem. And if you absolutely feel like, and this is a, your kid needs a phone, see, and they won't like it, by the way, so I'll say it, get them a flip phone. You know, remember how hard it was to text on a flip phone? A. C. T. Where's space? Come on now. Man, they'll be so frustrated, they'll just throw the thing in the ocean and move on with their lives. So don't let them fool you. Well, you know, and your kid will give you all, you know, I have a relative and they let their child have one. Okay, but let's just see how this all plays out. They raised their kids and I raised mine. Well, you know, my kid's doing just so well that I wanted to reward them. Maybe that's why they're doing well. Right? I had a rule. The rules, graduate from high school, you get a phone. But you ain't get one until then. Okay? Okay. The ship is taking water. This one's easy, especially if you're in our school. Put an end to social media. By the way, that's a rule in our church. So if you're in our school, you're not allowed to have social media. And since I'm feeling kind of frisky, let me just throw this out there. You're not going to get social media during the summer and scrub it when school starts and think you're getting back in school. That will not happen. That's the summer. Well, it's not in school, and you won't be in school. We're not doing that. There is nothing good about social media for children. The fact of the matter is, there's nothing good about social media almost for adults. Man, you could say the most positive thing and look at, I don't like the comments, but look at the comments. They'll find something to dice. It's like, okay, come on. They don't need social media. And it's, look, during this time of year, I've already done it. Our youth conference is usually before other churches. I'll listen to different people's youth conferences just to kind of get in youth conference mode, you know, next week. And I like to hear the messages. And I tuned into one. And the youth pastor at the church was preaching on the phone. You shouldn't have it. Now, he said this, kids, and you won't like this. At the end, he told him, like, look, even if your parents let you have one, you should refuse it. That won't go over very well. And he said this. He said he went, I think he said, it was TikTok. He goes, I knew I was preaching this message, so I wanted to get a little ammunition, and I opened a TikTok account. Now, I don't have TikTok. Okay? And he said that right after he created it, before he started following anybody, the first page that pulled up had nudity. He hadn't even signed up for anything. But you're going to let your kids have social media. Let's be careful. Okay, that really isn't going well. Next, how about waiting on future relationships? By the way, I am all for boy and girl relationships. College students, come on now. Somebody in our college needs to break the circle of like. I created that the first year. I'm like, wait a minute, all these kids, and none of them are getting connected together. And I'm like, oh, that's because this guy likes that girl, but she likes that guy, but he likes that girl, and there's this circle. I'm like, can someone just cut down the middle and break this thing? I'm for you guys. Do it the right way. But not teenagers. Okay? They don't need, now, guys, I hope you like girls. If not, you need help. But that will kill your spirituality. You're not ready for that. You're not. I don't think 25-year-olds are ready for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I dove in at 22, and I'm like, throw me a life raft. No, I didn't. But I'm like, look, you know what? I, you know what I like? I like just enjoying your time of life. If you're a teenager, be a teenager. Enjoy being a teenager. And when you get into the college and you got your feet underneath you, you kind of see what God wants, and you're starting down that road, then you're ready to take that next step. When you could see yourself, if you started courting somebody in a right amount of time, I'm going to be mature enough from the time we start courting to the time that we should be getting married, and I can see everything lining up, that's the time you go. And you get some, it gets some guidance in that, by the way. But boyfriend and girlfriend society, in our society, it's just you don't need that. I was unsaved. Unsaved. I did not have courtship standards. I chased at every opportunity I could. But as an unsaved, Brother Albert, as an unsaved teenager in high school, I'm like, I am not having a girlfriend. It was not a Baptist. You know why? Every time one of my friends got a girlfriend, we never saw him anymore. It's like, I'll date girls and I'll run after, but I'm not getting hooked up. Then you're stuck. It's like, what happened to Tom? He died? No, he got a girlfriend. That's worse. And they get this person, and no, they don't have friends anymore, and that's their whole life, and that's not even the person they're going to marry. And by the way, there's no way a guy can have a relationship with a girl, boyfriend, for 4 years, 5 years, and not do something wrong. That's not how it works. That's why it's like, I'm getting ready. Okay, and you follow the course and someone helps you and we're moving on. Be careful about filtering the internet. Now that's really, we use devices and children need that, but make sure that if they have to do stuff for school, it's there in the open, someone's there, and you're keeping an eye on them. Well, I trust my kid. Then that's a message for another day. Say, Pastor, did you trust your kids? No. I didn't trust myself. Do you understand? Listen. I set up, my life is guidelines, so I don't mess up. My wife knows where I am all the time. She doesn't trust me. She calls nonstop. Just kidding. I think Brother Ross calls me more. Anyhow, we have, what is it, Life 360. Find my friends. Hop on there. My wife will know exactly where I am anytime. Well, you know, she has a code to my phone. In fact, she'll use her phone and the battery's done and she's borrowing my phone. I could care less. I got nothing on there I'm ashamed of. I don't care. I'm not going to do something dumb because I'm going to put guidelines in place to me. Well, you know, my husband doesn't let me see his phone. He says, don't you trust me? That's a bad sign. What do you got on there you don't want her to see? Same thing for you, Mrs. What do you got on there you don't want him to see? Okay. Here's one that's a real killer. The tendency of inconsistency. Now look, that no parent is perfect. Far from it. If you have children, they know your faults. And that's okay. They don't expect you to be perfect. But you know what they want? They just want consistency. They want to know that, you know, you are a Christian, you're being consistent, you're going to do the right thing. And they know that. That'll look at mom and dad and say, you know what? They love God. They're in church. They try to spend time with God. They're not perfect, but they've set the example. And if you're a Christian, you go like this, you know what you're going to produce? You're going to produce kids that go like this. Right? So let's just try to be consistent. We've mentioned this. I haven't mentioned it for a while. They did a study of church kids. And who in the church turns out the best? The best kids come from families where the parents are in church with them and are consistent Christians. That's the best group. The second best group are from those who don't have any parents coming to church. The third group and the worst group are those who have parents that come to church and are very inconsistent or hypocritical in their faith. You see that? So let's just try to be consistent. And then the last thing here, and then we'll give you the last thoughts, the last point has just a couple of very quick. Be careful about allowances for education. Where are your children being educated? Who's teaching them? School's no longer about basic things you need to be successful in life. Now, when I went to school in the dark ages, I would pull the horse and the buggy out back in the early days, and we would feed the horse and we would ride. I went to Dominguez Elementary School right over here. My grandparents lived there. My mom worked swing shift, so we would stay there and go to school there. And my third grade teacher was Mr. Selznick. Mr. Selznick spanked us in class. In class. Say, Pastor, who was the person in your class got the most spankings? He'd do it right after lunch. Okay. Steve Myers, come up here. We're talking about a yardstick. Bend over. Wham! One time, I was in line, and the yardstick broke, and I'm like, praise God. My turn came. He pulled out a ruler. He said, put your wrist out. Excuse me? Put your wrist out. Whap! Now, most of the time, my swats for what I did on break when he wasn't out there. Now, today, Mr. Selznick would be in jail. I had no problem with what he did because every time he swatted me, I'm like, man, I deserve two. I knew it. And by the way, when Mr. Selznick spoke, I listened. Yes, sir. No, sir. Now, the monitors, that was my problem. But listen, our education system isn't like that anymore. I remember when we used to, I don't even know what they do it. We used to sing patriotic songs. We used to learn about the states. We used to learn about math and English, not about climate stupidity. That stuff, I remember when I was in sixth grade, our teacher was reading a little school paper they gave to us. And she read it. She goes, oh, this article says that we need to save water. And he says, so you should just take a bath once every couple days. She goes, oh, no, no, that's wrong. You need to take a bath every day. I'm like, okay, Mrs. Rogers, I got you. Can I just tell you something? Why is it whenever it hits 80 degrees, my phone popped up. Extreme heat warning. Man, I didn't even turn the air conditioner on today. I opened the windows and here came the air. Because it's a political thing. They're not teaching the kids common sense. They're not teaching them how to think, how to spell. Be very careful. It's agenda driven. Like I said the other day, and I absolutely believe it, if you go to a place where you were to ask the teacher how many genders there are, if they don't say there's two, you should not have your child there. And I mean that. I just mean it. If you go to your, ooh, this is really good. If you go to your teacher's classroom and they have a rainbow in that classroom and it's not showing animals getting off the ark, you should not have your child in that classroom. If they have a transgendered flag, you should not have them in that classroom. Okay, since you're already upset, let me just go ahead and finish the thought here. If you sent your child to our Sunday school and they went to their Sunday school class, and their teacher was a guy in a dress wearing makeup, and he had a transgender, maybe he wasn't, but he had a flag on there and a rainbow flag, and there wasn't any animals getting off the ark, and he's telling your kids that we evolved, and all the woke philosophy, you would never let your child go to our church again, and I agree to you, but we send them to a school where they do all of it. And they do it for 40 hours a week. I'm telling you. By the way, it's worse now. There's pornography in the libraries for 4 and 5 year olds. Johnny wants to be a girl with pictures. All right. So anyhow, that's that. So what do we do? Number two, a willingness to fight. There also needs to be a willingness to accept the responsibilities. See, as parents, and even in the church, we have to say, you know what? There's a responsibility we have. We better just man up and do it. Let's just do it. So what do we got to do? First of all, you got to accept your function. You're a parent, be a parent. That's your job. Don't defer. Gentlemen, let me say this, and I'll say it super kindly. I was going to be super nice tonight. I don't know what happened. Pray for me. But your wife's not the leader of the home. Now, I know, Pastor, you're a Neanderthal. I know, I met my wife. She was hanging out in a cave, and I said, and I grabbed her hair, and I pulled her out. It's not like that. And by the way, you men don't understand what it means to be a leader. That doesn't mean I have to tell you what we're eating, I don't care. Just be food. No fish. That's not leading. That's a dictator. What a leader is, when it comes to the values and the things in the house, my word is last. And by the way, my wife and I figured out what we believed, and we were on board before we got married, so there's not a lot of that to debate about. We're on the same page. But sometimes, you know, hey, the decision needs to be made, and it's like maybe she doesn't understand. Say, look, I'm the dad here. Can the kids stay over here? You know, after all, it seems like a good idea. Sometimes she's like, look, I'm not comfortable with that. You're going to have to trust me on this one. No. But I just think, no. Amen. Just trust me. Amen. But we give in. Your little kid, well, Danny, no. Amen. Well, I'm mad. Go be mad in your room. Okay? But just accept the function. Amen. And next, contest fiercely. You've accepted the role, and it's a fight. You know, your kid comes up and says, Daddy, you don't trust me. Look at him say, you know, sweetheart, I don't. But keep doing the right thing, and when you move out of the house, I'll trust you then. But others do it. That's a good opportunity to say, we love everybody, but I'm not their dad. I'm not their mom, but this is what we do because we're Christians. Amen. I'll be weird. Well, here's the good news. You already are. So, hey, run with it. By the way, if my kids say, but my friends will think I'm weird, they have the wrong friends. Okie dokie. You know, I just want to get done, but here we go. By the way, it's your home. You determine what comes in here. Should I say this? Okay, thanks, John. If I have relatives come over my house, they're not drinking at my house. Well, you know, Pastor, they're not Christians. I am. I'm not gonna jump up on the table. Hey, I'm sorry. I don't allow alcohol in my house. Well, I want to drink outside. Well, do it in your car. Because I don't want you to stand on my grass and then God kills my grass because I allowed that. You know how long it took me to get that stuff green, man? You're only allowed to water it 3 times a day, okay? But you know what we do? We give in to our adult children. Hey, I love my kids now, we haven't had these issues, but if they ever go wrong, they're welcome, but they're not going to bring their nonsense here. Well, you know, and again, I get it. You have to balance love and compassion. I totally understand that. But if I had a child and they were living with somebody, you know, hey, Dad, we're going to visit, and so-and-so's coming. Can we have a room? No. Like, thank you. Made it easy. No. You ain't doing that in my house. Okay, it's not going well. I'm just saying. And by the way, you have other children. But we allow things in our house we wouldn't allow anywhere else for other people. That's your house. That's your castle. Okay? Build a moat, put a thing, get some crocodiles, and it'll all be good. But don't allow stuff. We give in to others, and we say, well, you know, it's not me, but then you're letting your other ones see that. Right? I remember we had someone staying with us for a short time. This is probably 30 years ago. And I came home, and they're watching something. I'm saying, hey, we don't watch that here. Okay. All right, thanks. We're not doing that. And so be the leader. Be willing to take that challenge on. And then enlist friends, right? We all need help. So how do you do it? You see, the home, the church, and Christian school. Those three all work together. Now, it's your children, your house, your home. You decide that. We have nothing to do with it. Okay? All these things I'm saying, that's between you and God. I'm giving you some suggestions. Some of them I'm pretty passionate about because I've been doing this for a super long time, and I've seen the bad results that can happen. But, hey, that's between you and God, and I'm not reaching into your house. Amen. I'm just telling you what I think you should do. okay? You don't agree with me? Good, that's you, and I love you still. But don't bring your stuff into the home in the church. Well, pastor, I don't want the church in my home, you know? That's fine, but I don't want your home in this church. Okay, this we're just gonna lay, okay, so. But anyhow, we work together. Look, if your children come to our school or they come to our church, I'm going to tell you this right now. We're going to back you up. We're not going to teach them to go against you. And by the way, if you have a kid that's in our church and school and they go do something against you and they try to blame the church and school, come see me. I'm going to back you up. I'm never going to tell a child to go against their parents or their church or their parents. Okay, that's usually kids just trying to snowball. You know how they are. Like, stop, they're lying to you. Okay, but let's work together. We're here as a resource and a help, but ultimately, you need to do it. And the last thing is this, just remain firm. Just stay faithful. It's worth it. It's worth it. You say, well, I have a child. Maybe you have several children. Maybe you have them, they're older. Maybe they deviated. Listen, don't beat yourself up. It happens. Right? But don't let that stop you. See, sometimes kids start to go sideways a little bit, and the parents give in. Yeah. Well, I'll go sideways too. What are your children going to come back to? Where are they going to get godly advice when they need it? Well, if you leave church and you stop doing the right thing because they kind of deviated and you just wanted to keep the peace with them, when they have a problem in their life, they're going to come to you. You're out of church or you're not doing the right thing and you can't push them the right direction. Be there for them. They ought to just look and say, you know what? I'm having issues right now. I think I made a bad decision, but mom and dad have been solid. I'm running home to them. Let me go ask them what's going on. Let me help. Let me go to them. Remain firm. What's the point? As I look older, I'm not old, I'm older, although, man, I can't be saying that forever. As I look back, I can look back and I really understand what the most important things in life are, right? I've said it over and over. When I die, I want to be judged on three things. I mean, there's more, but, you know. I want to be judged, what kind of Christian was I? Not pastor. Not spiritual leader. What kind of Christian was I? Secondly, I want to be judged on what kind of husband was I? If I could pastor a church of a million, if I don't have a good marriage, I failed. And thirdly, what kind of father was I? And subpoint of three is grandfather. Okay, that's even better than having children, right? I wish we could have had the grandchildren first, to be real honest with you. Because why? That's where the blessings are. I'm lucky I married right. Amen. I nailed it. Amen. And that's why I avoided drama in my life. Because I got the right one. Good. That, other than saved, is the greatest decision I've ever made. And I'm not kissing up to my wife. She's not in here. She's in patch. Could you please tell her I said that? But I nailed that one. I got somebody that had the same spiritual beliefs as me and all that stuff and our family. So you guys are perfect? No, but we're still on board together. And that ought to be what you want for your family. But you've got to be willing to take that and say, and by the way, I understand. And some of you in here, you may be raising children by yourself, and it's hard, and the church is there. I get it. And it's not as easy, but it's worth the fight. And some of you parents, you're in your marriage, it's worth the fight. Because when you get to the end of your life, it's not what kind of this you had, how much money, blah, 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 blah. How's the important things in life? Did you nail that? That's what God wants. The next generation. We have something. I don't want to be like David. Remember what happened when Absalom died? I'm putting the papers up here so you think I'm finishing. Remember what happened when Absalom died? What did David say? Anybody remember? Would to God I had died for Absalom. You know what he said? It was regret. Not for what Absalom did, but the fact that David had made some mistakes that helped lead to that. That's not what we want, is it? We want to be able to look in the mirror and say, I did the best I could. I stood up, I fought, I tried to do the right thing for my family. Let's stand together if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I was a little bit off the rail, but I hope you understand my heart. You know, we love young people, we do. We have a youth conference coming. Brother Ross said we have like, what, 11 to 15 churches? Fact of the matter is, if we didn't even have another church come, it'd be a success just for our people. That's what I'm into. But that's the most, I look now, that's the most important thing to me. You can get success in every area of your life, but what about your family? What about your children? What about the next generation? It's willing to fight for it. But we're going to have to make some decisions, are we not? We're going to have to be willing to do what we need to do. Even you're going to have relatives. Like, why do you raise your kids like that? Because they're my kids. You won't answer for my kids, I will. But it's worth the fight. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Why don't you come? We have so many good kids in this church, and I want to make sure we keep it that way. And when we do, it's because we have parents that were willing to put the effort in, that were willing to put their children first.